At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Warmer from hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts, and we've got an absolutely tremendous podcast for you as we've got another conference preview for you as it is going to be the Sun Belt, a very new look Sun Belt as we wind up losing a few teams, but we wind up picking up a few others. So we've got a 14-team league in which there are four newcomers, and there are a few teams from last year such as favorites like UT Arlington and Arkansas Little Rock that are now out of the fold, but welcome in James Madison. You've got Marshall coming into the fold along with Southern Miss and also Old Dominion. So that should make this thing fun. In the first segment, we're going to be taking a look at some of the styles of these teams, take a look at betting trends for the teams that are coming in, along with the betting trends of the conference in general. We're going to be talking in the second segment with Clint Domegg. He does great work over in the great state of Louisiana. As a matter of fact, he is in Lafayette, Louisiana, where he hosts a show for 103.7 The Game every weekend called Under the Dome. We're going to ask him about all these rosters, some of the movement that we've seen in the offseason in terms of the transfer portal. I stupidly forgot to ask him about Arkansas State. They wound up taking a lot of losses. I will let you in on that right now. I'll hit them a little bit more in the final segment where I do give my projector a finish for the conference. So we're going to have everything all covered with regards to Sun Belt on the podcast today. And if you ever have a question, comment, segment idea, or anything else for this podcast, you've got one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM. Name does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Since I am doing a conference preview today, any news and notes of college basketball that I wound up missing on Friday? And looks like the starting point guard for Oregon State is going to be out of the fold for a team that did not look good to start with. I'll be brushing those up on the podcast tomorrow, so no worries there, but let's dive into this conference and let's take a look at a conference that just in general is very fascinating because you've got some of the quicker teams in all of college basketball in this conference and you've got a few slugs in this conference as well. And by slugs, I mean a team that has finished in the top two in the Sun Belt each out of the last 4 seasons at Texas State. They wound up being in a little bit of a tumultuous situation in terms of their former coach Danny Casper. You have seen the new regime come in, pretty much do what the old regime was doing, including the winning part and also playing really, really stinking slow as Texas State last season in terms of possessions on a per game basis. They were in the bottom 50 in all of college basketball along with Appalachian State. Appalachian State 329th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Texas State, they clocked in at 338th. So these were teams that were very content to play slow, letting a lot of the clock run down before they wind up taking a shot. And now they wind up having to go up against a team of Marshall that year in and year out. Typically, they find themselves in the top 25 in all of college basketball in terms of possessions per game. Last season in Conference USA, they were 22nd in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Typically, Louisiana's a little bit faster. They wound up throttling down just a little bit last season. They were 69th overall in possessions per game. Typically, you find this team in the top 50. So that was a little bit of an oddity there. And you do have a Southern Miss team that they themselves are typically a little bit of a slower bunch. Now, they bring in a bunch of transfers. That is going to be a little bit of a new-look team, but they should be one to take a look at. And then the two Georgia teams, I think, are very interesting because Jonas Hayes is going to be taking over a Georgia State bunch that they really played a little bit slower than normal last season. Typically, you expect them to play a fun, exciting brand of basketball. They were hampered by injury. As a result, they were just 147th in the country in terms of total possessions per game last season after they were year in and year out, typically more in that top 75 range. We shall see if that winds up continuing. Georgia Southern, they have throttled down since they wanted making a coaching change a few seasons ago. They were 273rd in the country in terms of possessions per game. And then you have teams that they really do a good job. They really ball hawk. They look for quite a few steals, and other teams, not so much. One of the biggest newcomers in James Madison. They're a team that year in and year out, typically you're going to find them towards the top 40 in the country in terms of steals force on a per possession basis. Meanwhile, you've got other teams that they are not going to be pushing the envelope too much. Marshall, they are certainly one of those teams that they themselves do a good job of being able to force steals. And even though Texas State is slow, they do a good job being able to seek out a bunch of steals, do a good job on that front. Meanwhile, Appalachian State, a team that played very slow last season in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis, they were outside the top 250, so they were not one of those teams that was necessarily looking for a bunch of steals. Louisiana was a bunch that they typically are not one that's going to force a bunch of turnovers themselves, as they were really looking at the low post game last season as well. So you've got a lot of different styles, and as a result, you wind up having some various betting trends. I will get to one team that enters that was a big giant fade last season, and if you were betting on Little Rock on the road, who's now out of the conference, they went 2-9 against the spread on the road, so that wound up helping out a lot of teams in the Sun Belt. And for the Sun Belt, one team that I've yet to mention is Troy. The reason why is Troy doesn't necessarily play fast. They don't necessarily play slow. They're not necessarily a bunch that has one guy that's going to go out there and is going to go just in flamethrower mode, but they were 10-6 within the conference last season, and for Troy, very much a steady Eddie team, 15-14 against the spread, which I found to be very fascinating. And with Appalachian State, they wound up loading up their non-conference schedule. I think that they played against both Duke and North Carolina, and when it comes to Appalachian State, as a result, they wound up having a good second half of the season after they were very battle-tested in the first half of the campaign, as they went 12-7-1 against the spread against Sun Belt teams. Little Rock was your big outlier. They were 5-10-1 against the spread against Sun Belt teams. Well, they're going to be out of the fold, but you wound up seeing a lot of teams just be sort of in that between 9-7 and like 7-9, 7-10-ish range. Georgia Southern, among teams that are returning, 7-11 against the spread in conference. Troy was 9-9, and then Coastal Carolina, the now departed UT Arlington, Texas State, and Arkansas State all went either 9-7 against the spread or 10-8 against the spread in conference. South Alabama, they were an 8-10 against the spread style team. So you did notice that things were relatively equal, and I do think that bookmakers do a very solid job of being able to gauge the totals in this conference, as well as you'll notice in the Sun Belt, despite the fact that you do have quite a few teams that play really fast and play really slow, that some teams that they play a little bit faster and some of the teams that they play a little bit slower wind up having sort of the reversal in terms of their totals. I mentioned Texas State, one of the slowest teams in all of college basketball. 15 overs and 11 unders. That is because they were a top 25 team in terms of three-point shooting percentage last year. If you're looking for someone that was really able to make you a bunch of money, that would be overs on Louisiana Monroe. 18 overs to 10 unders was not a great defensive year for them, but they were able to get you some overs. Appalachian State, who I mentioned, they were one of the slowest teams in all of college basketball last year. 15 overs, 14 unders, and 2 pushes. Meanwhile, Louisiana, a team that typically is very fast, 16 unders to 13 overs. Georgia State, a team that traditionally plays super fast, 18 unders to 9 overs. That was one of the lowest under marks in all of college basketball, as if you take a look at it, their 33.3% hit rate to the over. Here are the only teams that wound up having a lower over rate last season. Monmouth, Arizona State, Seton Hall, Loyola Maryland, UC Irvine, IUPUI, which that's very obvious, Ossipee, Eastern Illinois, South Florida, and Central Connecticut State. So they were in the top 15 in the country in terms of just under rate overall in college basketball. Meanwhile, the over rate that we wound up seeing with Louisiana Monroe, that wound up finishing in the top 20 among all D1 teams as well. And with the Sun Belt, I'm going to be very fascinated to see how much home court advantage is going to mean as well, because I mentioned it with Little Rock, the departed team from the conference. They were the team that everyone was able to beat up upon when they were on the road. And in the Sun Belt in general, a lot of teams were able to do a very solid job at home. Arkansas State, they went 6-4 against the spread at home. South Alabama, 8-6 against the spread at home. Coastal Carolina, 9-7 against the spread. Really the only team that is returning that had a rough time at home, Georgia Southern. They go 3-6 against the spread at home. But when it came to the Sun Belt as well, you did notice that underdogs, they had a really good time of it. The only three teams that covered fewer than 50% of their games as an underdog, Little Rock was out of the conference. They were terrible. Louisiana Monroe went 7-11-1 against the spread as an underdog. And Georgia State, 2-5 against the spread as an underdog. Troy wound up going 11-8 against the spread as an underdog. Appalachian State, 9-7-2 against the spread. A lot of these teams, they wound up going something like 6-5, like in Arkansas State against the spread as an underdog. South Alabama was really good as an underdog, 5-1 against the spread. And you really didn't notice too many demonstrative, like, home splits, road splits, what have you, but taking the points in the Sun Belt seemed to be a very good proposition, and I will let you in on this right now. When it comes to gauging this conference, this is one of the toughest ones I've had to handicap all year, because when it comes to the Sun Belt, these teams are very equally matched. I could see every team in the conference both winning and losing at least five games within the conference. Now let's take a look at the teams that are going to be coming into the conference. As James Madison, I mentioned a little bit before, they do a good job of being able to generate steals. And for James Madison, modest numbers, 13-14 against the spread. They really didn't have anything that stood out in terms of conference record against the spread, home slash road. They were a pretty vanilla team last season. After in the Colonial a few years ago, they actually won the regular season crown. You did notice one big giant fade, and I was using this a little bit earlier. Marshall comes in after they were 9-20-2 against the spread. Fortunately, Pacific saved them from being a complete embarrassment, because Pacific had the worst against the spread record for any team that played 20 plus games that got listed on the betting board I've ever seen. But they were fifth worst in all of college basketball in terms of cover rate. Just not a good year in general for a Marshall bunch. That they were in the bottom 40 in all of college basketball in terms of 3-point shooting percentage. It did not go well for them, and it also did not go well for Old Dominion as well, a team that was clearly a bit overvalued towards the beginning part of the season, a team that really never plays fast themselves. You typically find Old Dominion being in the bottom 75 in terms of possessions per game. They went 13-18 against the spread. And Southern Miss, who also comes in from Conference USA, they went 13-18 against the spread as well. And all these teams, they did not do a great job on the road, as looking at all three of these teams are coming in from Conference USA. You had Marshall go 4-10 against the spread on the road. Southern Miss, 5-10 against the spread on the road. And Old Dominion, they went 5-9 against the spread on the road. So hitting the road, not necessarily their friend. And if you take a look at a totals perspective, James Madison, nothing really leaped off the page for them, but out in Conference USA, because got a trio of teams that they just did not do a great job of covering the spread. For Southern Miss, it was all about defense for them. They didn't play fast, but they played no defense at all. Bottom 25 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, 20 overs to 11 unders as a result. With Old Dominion, 15 overs, 15 unders, and a push. As neutral as it gets for Old Dominion, not a great offense for them, but their defense was a little bit subpar from what we've seen in the past. And Marshall, a bunch that they continued to play fast. They just couldn't put the ball in the basket from distance. As a result, they played 16 unders, 13 overs with two pushes. So those are the trends of the Sun Belt and what we're seeing in terms of the teams that are coming into the conference as well. So now that we've taken care of that, it's segment number two. Now, once again, I stupidly forgot to ask our guest Clint Domegg about Arkansas State, but we're going to be taking a look at all these rosters with Clint. Does a great job over at 103.7 The Game in Lafayette, Louisiana. He hosts the show Under the Dome for them. We're going to be talking with them about all these teams in the conference, the guys that are incoming via the transfer portal, and so much more. That is up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Dave Spears, and now part of the Houston Family Podcast, the Sun Belt Preview Edition.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoopspears, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, the Sun Belt Preview Edition, and great to be joined by our guest as Clint Domag does absolutely terrific work over there in the great state of Louisiana. More specifically, he's out there in Lafayette and does a great job hosting a pair of different shows slash podcasts, Under the Dome, that is a show that you're able to hear every single Saturday, and then when it comes to the Cajun Strong Style Podcast, that is one that's a little bit more exclusive to Pro Wrestling, but as you can tell, a little bit of love here for the Raging Cajuns from Clint, as he does a great job hosting over there at 103.7 The Game, and you're able to follow him on Twitter at his name, Clint Domag. Last name is spelled D-O-M-I-N-G-U-E, and Clint, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
It's always an honor to come on the podcast, brother, be it, you know, in season, out of season, a month or so before the regular season finally gets kickstarted. It's always great just to talk some college hoops with you, brother.
It is always great to have you aboard, and let's start first things first with the team that is nearest to you, Louisiana, because they wound up getting a winning season for the eighth time in their last nine seasons, and they do wind up bringing back four out of their top five scorers as well. They do lose Theo Akwuba. That's going to be a little bit of a loss for them, but a lot of returning pieces. They bring in a couple guys via the transfer portal, but not necessarily looking to them as much via the transfer portal. Just a question of whether or not the returning pieces can wind up taking that next step forward for Louisiana this season.
Exactly. It's a big year for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns on all different fronts. I think one player in particular we got to keep an eye on has to be Baton Rouge's own Kobe Julian. He's been a guy that's been hyped up for a long time. Dealt with a lot of injuries the last couple of years. Showed up towards the tail end of last year. Showed out a little bit. I want to see what he can do with a full season, 100% healthy, ready to go, because the guy has so much potential. It's just been a damn shame all the injuries that he's had over the years kind of led up to him kind of being considered more or less an afterthought. Guys like Joe Charles out of Karen Crow High School, he's going to be somebody to keep an eye on more so as a potential sixth man. Some great depth in there. Greg Williams, a guy we've talked about a lot last year, a product out of Lafayette Christian Academy. went to St. John's for a little bit, decided to come back home for a couple of years with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. I think he's going to be one of those impact players. You brought up Theo Okuba. I think you'll see Greg Williams Jr. kind of transition into that role really well as being the leader of this team. And one more thing, this isn't necessarily 100% certain, but I'm going to say it right now. This is the last year for Bob Marlin. This is the last year of his contract. There were rumors and innuendo, depending how they did in the Sun Belt tournament, they might have let him go. I think this is the time just to part ways. Sometimes you have a certain shelf life as a head coach, and based off of everything that I've heard and observed, I think this is the last year of Bob Marlin as the head coach of the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, and they won't be renewing his contract.
And it has been a long tenure for Bob Marlin, and he did get the team to the NCAA tournament. I believe that was now 9 years ago, so they're looking to get back for the second time under Mr. Marlin. And Appalachian State, they're looking to get to the NCAA tournament for the second time in their last three seasons. Now, Appalachian State losing Justin Forrest, who was just a stalwart for this team for so many years. They bring back Donovan Gregory, who is someone that I do like. And the one thing about Appalachian State is ever since Dustin Kearns came into the fold, this has become a defense-oriented team. Appalachian State is not going to try to gun it and try to get 80-plus points in a game or anything like that. But what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to make things very slow, make things very grimy. They bring in a 6'10" gentleman from Western Illinois, Tim L. Pearson, who does a solid job on the glass. Mike Leeds Jr., he's going to be returning. They do lose some of the top scoring from last season, but I think that Appalachian State, they're going to stay tried and true and not wind up going very fast and try to win these games via defense.
Exactly. You just go ahead and kind of just suck the life out of a stadium by playing a little bit more of that slow, methodical basketball. I mean, as much as you can with a shot clock, obviously. This isn't like watching them some high school basketball, depending on where you're at. But I was going to bring up to Mel Pearson before you want to bring up towards the end of that opening statement there. I think without a doubt, he's going to be the guy that you rely on as being that star. Andrew Muse could be another one as well. But one name in particular, and this is more so because it's an awesome name, Zacho Littleton Jr., a freshman. That name alone makes me want to see what he can do on the court.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that it's going to be interesting to take a look at what Appalachian State is going to be able to get out of him. And with Appalachian State, they've been doing a better job of being able to recruit the last few years as well. As Clint Domag does a great job hosting the show Under the Dome over there at 103.7 The Game in Louisiana is joining me on the podcast. And a team that I'm very fascinated to see, that'd be Georgia State, because Georgia State, they made the NCAA tournament last season, but a lot of moving parts, as well as they had to have their coach, Mr. Lanier. He moved on. He decided, you know what, I'm going to go take that SMU job. But I think that Georgia State did a tremendous job hiring on Jonas Hayes, who he was the coach when Xavier made their run to be able to win the NIT. And take a look at some of the talent that's coming in, and I do like it. I do think that someone like a Jermaine Mann who comes in, he's going to be able to make an impact. He brings with him Dewan Odom from Xavier as well. When it comes to a man that I was talking about a little bit earlier, he was at Gardner-Webb, guy that was able to put up right around 5.5 rebounds per game. I think they also spent a little bit of time over at Vanderbilt, and you could tell that when Hayes wound up taking over that Xavier program, they just look completely different. Colin Moore, I think, is going to be able to do good work in the backcourt as well. New look team for Georgia State, but I think that they did a good job with this hire. Might take a year or two for them to be able to reach their full peak under Jonas Hayes, but I like what they did in the offseason.
Oh, no, I like what they did in the offseason as well, but what's interesting is, Greg, is the fact that you've only got a couple upperclassmen. You've got Khalik Brooks and you've got Brendan Tucker. These are going to be guys that are sophomore, in some cases Joe Jones, the center, he's going to be a redshirt sophomore. There's a lot of questions surrounding the youth of this team. And I agree with you. It's going to be a bit of a rebuilding year for the first year head coach, Jonas Hayes. He's going to be taking over a program that was kind of in a state of flux, obviously. You lose your head coach. It happens all the time, especially with Group of Five programs, regardless of sport. But getting guys like Jermaine Mann out of Vandy and a guy from Xavier in Dewan Odom, those are going to be two sophomores that I think could be, like, definitely at the end of the year, all Sun Belt, and can get this team at least in contention in year one in a Sun Belt East that's added a lot more firepower. And I know we'll get to those in just a minute.
And speaking of a little bit more firepower with the team from the state of Georgia, how about Georgia Southern? They bring in someone in Jalen Finch that I really like. He was at Jackson State a season ago, a Jacksonville State team that made the NCAA tournament. He shot right around for 9 points per contest on 39%. 3-point shooting certainly going to be able to help out a Georgia Southern team that really, ever since you saw the coaching change of Brian Burke, has had a tough time making shots from the outside. But they bring back Caden Archie. He is a pest on the defensive end, 6'6", a little bit of a combo player. That's able to get steals. Kamari Brown is going to be back in the fold for this team. Andre Saraf, he's someone that does a good job. 6'7", a little bit of a combo player. And then Ty Strickland comes in from Temple as well. This team lacks a little bit down low, no question about it. But when it comes to Georgia Southern, being able to improve that 3-point shooting, I think is massive, because last few years, that's really been the main kryptonite for them.
And it's kind of a tale of two teams in the state of Georgia, where you bring up the fact a lot of the youth going on with that program. This is a Georgia Southern team that's built for what feels like, to a certain extent, what we see in the NFL, where teams are all in on this one year to be the year they make a push for a Super Bowl. This is a team that's making a push for a Sun Belt Conference championship with a lot of fifth-year seniors, some redshirt seniors thrown in there as well, guys that are absolutely going to be intriguing to see how it all kind of comes together. It's not just, you know, getting guys from the state of Georgia. They've got guys from all over, namely Andre Savrasov, and hopefully I pronounced that one right, out of St. Petersburg, Russia. That alone just intrigues me. Obviously, a transfer out of Texas Tech. Getting guys from a Power 5 program is always going to be a big plus for you. I'm interested to see how it all looks for this Georgia Southern team. And again, the East Division is one to keep an eye on, and I think Georgia Southern's one worth at least keeping tabs on. You brought up Caden Archie as well. That's another one that I think we all need to kind of stand at attention for.
If you want to talk about a team that made a lot of additions in the offseason, look no further than Coastal Carolina. My goodness, this team wound up hitting the transfer portal, and they hit it hard. Antonio Day Jr., two seasons ago at Florida International, put up big numbers. Very good at Fordham last season. He comes in the fold. Linton Brown, transfer from St. Bonaventure, comes in. Jamariu Brown, who a few seasons ago at Eastern Kentucky really lit it up, he comes into the program. Henry Abraham, now Eastern Illinois was not good last season, but he had an okay season. He enters into the program. 6'8" combo player Jimmy Nichols, he enters the program from VCU, and along with that, you bring back Isa Mustafa. Mustafa was tremendous down low, 13 points, 9.5 boards per contest. I look at Coastal Carolina, and I like what they added in the backcourt, bringing back Mustafa, one of the best low post players that you're going to find in the conference. That makes this team very dangerous.
Oh, no, I agree wholeheartedly. They're going to be a dangerous team. All those guys, I can't wait to see what it looks like. And also, with the fact you got guys that are super seniors, again, like COVID was over 2 years ago, and it feels like, to a certain extent, effects are just ever growing. And you see guys out here who are super seniors heading into 2022, 2023, like Jamaru Brown. Have me looking forward to seeing what a program looks like. This is a new look team. Brought up all these names, like, my God, were any of these guys a part of the team last season? But it's going to be fun to see how it all kind of comes together. Mustafa is going to be a player I'm going to be interested in, and seeing how he does once we get into conference play.
And I'm very curious to see what happens with this program as well, because for Louisiana Monroe, it has been really rough sledding for them the last few seasons. I think during the 2018-19 season, they had a little bit of a come up. Ever since then, they've been going to the transfer portal, hoping, praying that anything winds up working out. This could be the year in which it winds up working out a little bit better, though. They bring in Jabari Blackman. He comes in from North Alabama after he was a double-digit scorer. Tariq Lacour could never wind up finding tremendous minutes at UAB, but someone that comes in from a very solid UAB program, he's going to be able to strengthen this team as he does good work out there in the backcourt. They bring in Jacob Wilson. He was over at Wichita State, and that was a cast off of Wichita State. So that's a very interesting ordeal in and of itself. We shall see if he even winds up being able to play out there on the floor. But one of those cases in which one team's, shall we say, cast offs another team's treasures with him as well. So I do take a look at Louisiana Monroe bringing in these guys along with Elijah Gonzalez, who does a great job year in and year out, giving you right around 3.5 to 4 assists per game. Mika Mechavili. That is one that I'm sure that I wound up saying wrong, but the gentleman from Georgia that stands 6'8", that was able to put up 10 points, 4.5 boards as a steal and a half per contest while being able to shoot it well from 3-point range. And I think that Louisiana Monroe finally has some pieces. Question is, can they get them firing all cylinders or not under Keith Richard? Because that has been the main downfall of this team the last few seasons.
Oh, I'd have to agree. This has been a program, and this is not just a basketball thing. This is program-wide to a certain extent. Has been falling on hard times. This is kind of well before COVID. They've always been more or less the bottom feeder. If I were to make a tier list of the Sun Belt Conference, regardless of sport, I think ULM winds up towards that D or F tier. But I'm hopeful things can get a little bit better with certain players. Jalen Bolden is a guy, I think, absolutely guy out of Zachary High School that can make that leap and be a potential freshman of the year candidate. You brought up Tyreek out of UAB from the New Orleans area. They've got a lot of guys who are from here, and I think that's going to be a great step in the right direction for this program. Now, how long does it take for them to kind of start building momentum? I just don't know. One guy in particular I think we need to bring up, and I'm going to butcher this name, guy out of Senegal, another guy from UAB, Adiedhu, hopefully I got that one right, 6'11", 262 pounds. That is an absolute mammoth of a man. He needs to be out there in the forward position. Are you kidding me? That dude is going to be a beast. And again, this is just solely based off of how the roster looks right here, right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to be listed as a center when it's all said and done, but he's going to be an absolute menace in the paint.
You want to talk about a menace in the paint? I've got one for you. As joining me on the podcast, we've got Clint Domag. Does a great job over in the great state of Louisiana hosting the show Under the Dome over there at 103.7 The Game. How about Kevin Samuel? He winds up coming in as a 7-footer at Florida Gulf Coast last season. 11.5 points, 9.7 rebounds, 2.9 blocks per contest. Now, he owns a shot below 50% at the free throw line. You're going to get that with some of these big men. But South Alabama, a team that has always utilized the transfer portal, they've done a good job of being able to bring in some size. They also have Deontay Smith, 6'7", a little bit of a combo player that he began his career over at TCU. I'm very interested to see how Greg Parham is going to be able to fit in with this team as well. Someone that comes in from VMI a few seasons ago while he was at VMI, led the team with 18.5 points per contest. Did not wind up playing last season, but a very good shooter, Jamar Franklin. He's back in the fold after last season. He was able to do some good work as well as he comes in as a little bit more of a highly touted freshman, right around 21 points per contest during his senior year in high school. So you've got a lot of good pieces for South Alabama. Once again, the question becomes, because this team, they make wholesale changes every offseason, can these pieces mesh?
I'm hopeful these things can actually mesh, if I'm being honest with you, Greg. They absolutely have so much potential. Now, it's just the case with a lot of other different programs. Case in point, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns, for years, they were experts at working the transfer portal, getting guys that were in the system and were going to help get this team potentially to the next level. Now, you fast forward a little bit, look like that wasn't the case in a lot of these other situations, be it due to injuries or COVID ending a season early or what have you. This is a team that I'm hopeful can kind of get right, and more importantly, get right at the right time and get hot, because the talent you mentioned alone has me intrigued about them. I know it's a little bit too early to kind of get to conference winners and division winners, at least in the odds in Vegas. I could be completely off base here. You could kind of inform me, but I wouldn't be surprised if South Alabama is second or third in those division winner odds when those things are indeed released.
Yep, it's going to be a little bit early in terms of odds to be able to win the conference right now. And typically the one place I saw them at was Bet Rivers, actually not out here in Las Vegas, but one of those books that's a little bit more on the East Coast. And I remember last season, South Alabama, they were one of those teams that was right around 2 or 3, and I would expect them to be the same this season. I tell you right now, if you're looking at those odds, this is a team that's probably not going to be towards the top of it, and that would be Marshall. Marshall comes in after it was a brutal year in Conference USA. Now, Obiana Onchili-Killian, he was able to average a little bit over 2 blocks per contest, 6'8" gentleman that's able to pop threes. But Marshall, they were terrible from distance last season. Tavion Kinsey, he is back in the fold after he was able to average 15-plus points per contest. And I do like the one piece that they got in the transfer portal. That'd be Camden Kerfman. Last season, he was playing for VMI and did a nice job being able to average over 10 points per contest. Good three-point shooter for them. So Camden Kerfman should be able to help them out. But I do take a look at this Marshall team, and they play at a breakneck style, and they don't necessarily have a lot of depth, and that can be an issue.
Oh, it can definitely be an issue. And, you know, we're kind of getting to the newcomers to the Sun Belt Conference. And just looking at this roster kind of for the first time, going in a little bit blind, this feels like at certain points an international league type team. You've got names out of nowhere, you know, guys from all over the place. But I love to see it first off, because you get to see a lot of diversity. And more importantly, you get to see a lot of different styles of the game. Marshall's going to be interested to see how they work in the Sun Belt Conference with a lot of these guys who are used to doing the Euro steps and the international game, see how that translates. not just stateside, but more importantly, seeing how it translates in the Sun Belt Conference, where you don't see that nearly as much as maybe some other conferences do.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see how everything goes for Old Dominion as well, because Old Dominion, they've been hit hard via the transfer portal. Now, I like that they bring in Tyreek Scott Grayson, someone who began his career at UAB last season. He was at Northeastern, but was very much injured while he was at Northeastern. But year in and year out, this team always feels like they're replacing their top two or three scorers. KJ Kaiser from last season, he's out of the fold. Austin Trice is now out of the fold as well. You don't necessarily have a lot of size when it comes to Old Dominion. And as a matter of fact, I think that they've got one guy that is taller than 6'8" right now in Phazion Fields, who I don't necessarily think is going to have a tremendous year. But I do think that Tyreek Scott Grayson, him coming in, is solid. You bring back Makai Long, someone who was able to do a nice job last season, as Long was able to put up right around 8.5 points. He chipped in their 7 rebounds per contest. But Old Dominion, they had a tough time being able to shoot the three last season. They were in the bottom 15 in all of college basketball. They really didn't add a lot to be able to help out with that. They don't necessarily have the world's greatest size. I think that this could be a bad year number one for them out there in the Sun Belt.
I kind of agree with you there, Greg. I mean, it's just going to be tough to see how this team can compete, especially in an East division that we've mentioned a lot of other teams already. Georgia State, Georgia Southern, App State as well, Coastal Carolina. All these teams are going to be competing in a very tough division. And from what I can remember, I don't think they're going to go to the smart scheduling that they were going to pre-COVID. I don't think that's a thing that's going to happen this year, probably into next year, seeing how all that works out. But you're going to be dealing with a lot of teams in the East Division. Good luck. God bless if you're Old Dominion. Hopefully you get some more favorable draws over when you play some of your West opponents.
And this is going to be a bunch that's going to want some favorable draws, as well as got coming into the conference as well, James Madison. They were out at the Colonial a few seasons ago, and they do bring in a few pieces I think is going to be able to make them competitive right away. You've got Tyree Iheanacho, who I always think that that's a tremendous name. I remember while he was in the Summit League a few seasons ago, he was able to do some very solid work, so that should be able to help them out. And James Madison does have a very distinct style. They do a nice job being able to force a lot of turnovers, and a lot of this is going to rest on Noah Friedel. Friedel, he missed like half the season for South Dakota State, but if you looked at South Dakota State first half of the year, he was averaging right around 15 to 16 points per contest. Guy was able to put up a bunch of buckets, and then you do return Vado Morris. Morris was able to be one of the top scorers for the team last season, 15.5 points per contest, 2.5 assists, shot right around 34.5% from three-point range. I do fear that this team is not going to have a lot of rebounding. As a matter of fact, Dekai Molson, he was the only guy on the team last season that was able to average more than 5 rebounds per game, other than Justin Amadi. And Amadi going to be back in the fold for the team as well. But I take a look at James Madison, a little bit rough down low for them. They do a good job of being able to generate turnovers, but I don't know if their style necessarily going to be great in a Sun Belt conference that we've already alluded to. Does have some very dominant big men.
Has some dominant big men. And again, the fact they're in the Sun Belt East Division is going to be a very tough road to hoe. And especially now, you're going into the Sun Belt Conference. For the most part, you have not had the best of luck against Sun Belt Conference opponents. The only team you have a winning record against is going to be the Marshall Thundering Herd, where the last time you faced off against them was back in 2015. Everybody else, you have a losing record, or basically you've played them only once or twice in Coastal Carolina and Arkansas State. But it's going to be a tough road in the Sun Belt Conference going against a lot of these teams. In some cases, in the East, you're playing against them for the first time, like in the case of Georgia Southern. It's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of pans out for James Madison, more or less in year number one.
I'm also very fascinated to see what we get out of Troy this season as well, because Troy didn't have that one guy on the team that was able to go into takeover mode, was able to score like 20 points when you needed to on any given night. But they were a team that, I always like using this phrase, the whole was greater than the sum of its parts, as they wound up going 10-6 in Sun Belt play last season, but they do lose their top scorer in F.A. Owodiji. He was the only guy that averaged more than 9 points per contest last season. Now they bring back Duke Dean. Duke Dean was able to put up 3 assists, 9 points per contest, someone like a Duke Miles. So you've got Duke squared here. He's able to dole the ball when needed as well. Someone like Kiefer Punter, I thought that he wound up showing a little bit of upside. And Nate Shiminga, he's 6'10". If given a few more minutes, I think that he's going to be able to do a solid job. But when it comes to Troy, I wonder if there's a little bit of a glass ceiling for them just because they don't have that one guy that's able to be super dominant. I absolutely love what Scott Cross has done at Troy, a little bit of a downtrodden program that they've been able to have a little bit of a come up, and they're going to be looking for a spark from Darius McNeil, who began his career at Cal, actually had some good seasons at Cal before. He's just mired in a little bit of mediocrity with places like UTSA and company. But with Troy, very intriguing team because, once again, not that one guy that you could look at for like 15-plus on any given night, but a team that plays very scrappy, good defense.
Exactly. And again, you've got a scrappy team, play scrappy defense. But at the same time, we talk about the man that's running this team. Look at the experience he's had with UTA, helping them kind of make that transition from FCS, if we're talking, you know, straight up football, but going from a smaller program, getting that call up to play in the Sun Belt Conference in, you know, the other major sports, not football. It's been an interesting transition. Then he spent some time with TCU, learned some things here and there, but then he's able to kind of take this program in Troy and within a couple of years get this team towards the top half of the Sun Belt Conference, regardless of divisions, and getting them to a CBI last year, that was a huge step in the right direction. I want to see how they build, especially now that they're moving out of a highly competitive East division, and now they're moving over to a more appropriate West division, now that you've added a few teams more so on the East Coast.
This is very fascinating as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Clint Domingue, does a great job hosting the show Under the Dome over at 103.7 The Game in Lafayette, Louisiana. And when it comes to Texas State, they've been in the top two in the Sun Belt each out of the last four seasons, losing some of the top scorers from last season, but Mason Harrell, one of those heart and soul guys that wound up putting up 10.5 points, shot 40% from three-point range. He is back at Texas State, perennially one of the slowest teams in college basketball. They were in the bottom 30 in terms of total possessions per game last season. They do also bring back Nigel Caesar, who is 6'8", average a block, few rebounds per contest. I like him. And Tuong Thong Gatkech, he was coming in from Florida, someone that was very highly touted, 6'9", gentleman that when Colin Castleton was out of the fold, he wound up seeing some added minutes. They also bring in Elijah Kennedy, someone who is a little bit of cast off from Florida. These guys should be able to fortify that backcourt a little bit. Bringing back Drew Drinian is going to be able to help out as well. 6'1", guy that does a good job doling out the ball, shoots a couple threes. Texas State, year in, year out, they find ways to be able to play their style, shoot very efficiently from three-point range. Going to be a little bit of a tall order with how much you're losing from last season with guys like Isaiah Small and company out of the fold, but Texas State, they've got a very good track record of success. I do not want to bet against what we've got with Terrence Johnson and what he's been able to do with this program.
The more we mention a lot of these names, the more I'm like, come on, guys, put a pronunciation guide in your rosters online, because my goodness, like you said, guy out of Portland, Maine, spends some time at Florida. Gun to my head, I couldn't answer that question. Couldn't pronounce that name to save my life, quite literally. So we're going to move on from him, but I think there's a lot of other names as well. Kid out of Cypress, Texas, Nate Martin, I'm intrigued in. Another one, I'm going to go with a local guy, LaPlace, Louisiana's own Brandon Davis, transferred from Loyola of New Orleans. Heard nothing but great things about him. But one of my guys who does work in the athletic department over at Loyola of New Orleans. So Brandon Davis is going to be another guy that I think we need to keep tabs on.
And then we've got one last team to break down, and it's another team that is due to the conference, and that'd be Southern Miss. And Southern Miss, they have had a downtrodden program the last few years. They were absolutely terrible on defense last season, a team that really couldn't put the ball in the basket. This is a very new-look Southern Miss team, though. They bring in Austin Crowley, someone who put up modest numbers at Ole Miss, but highly touted guy, 6'5", is able to pop threes. They bring him in. John Franco Pipo Garfalas, he is coming in from Tarleton State, and he actually comes in from the D2 level. He was supposed to go to Tarleton State, instead decided that he's going to go to Southern Miss. If you took a look at this guy at the D2 level, he's putting up like 18.5 points, north of 5 boards, 2 steals. I mean, the guy was an absolute sad sheet suffer. And then they bring in the Mercer guys, Felipe Haas, along with Deftali Alvarez. Alvarez is capable of giving you 4-plus assists per contest. Felipe Haas, 15-plus points, 40% three-point shooter while he was at Mercer. Very good numbers. Victor Hurt comes in from Florida International. He should be able to help this team out with his 6'8 frame. Donovan Ivory was a 10-point-per-game scorer at UW-Green Bay. Southern Miss, lots of new moving parts. Southern Miss, they bring in a lot of talent. I think the one question with Southern Miss, how long is it going to take for these guys to have chemistry? Because I look on paper, and I'm actually very impressed by all the guys that they wind up bringing in. This is a completely new look team trying to turn around a Southern Miss program that in recent years, since Donnie Tindall left, has just not been good.
My God, I hadn't thought about Donnie Tindall in a long time. That's a name I don't want to think about anytime soon. But Southern Miss is a team that I'm just going to be interested to see how they adapt in year number one, because unlike a lot of these other programs, Southern Miss is jumping from Conference USA to the Sun Belt Conference, which is really kind of the hot place to be regardless of sport. I know last week we saw a lot of big upsets in the world of college football. I think Southern Miss, give them another year or so, and they could cause a lot of havoc. One name in particular that's kind of standing out to me has to be Chalmette's own Trey Alfonso, the Chalmation out of Fountain Blue High School. He's going to be somebody you keep an eye on in this season, see how he kind of moves up that roster and could be a good bench depth type player.
It's going to be very fascinating to see what we get out of this conference all season long. And Clint, I know that you do a great job taking a look at the Sun Belt, taking a look at really all things out there in the SEC with your show Under the Dome. And then I know you do some work in terms of the world of wrestling as well. You're a very well-rounded gentleman, and you've joined me a few times for the Sun Belt preview. Always do appreciate it. So love to give people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything that you've got going on in general.
Yeah, sure thing, man. You can follow me on Twitter at Clint Doming, CLINTDOMINGUE. I'm on there not as much as I used to be over the last year or so, more just because life gets very busy around this time of year. But make sure, you know, you can keep tabs me on over there. If you see my bio, there's a link tree where you can just basically see all the podcasts, all the stuff I'm writing, all the other stuff that I'm doing at the moment. And you can get an idea of what's going on with yours truly. And Under the Dome, like you said, 9 to 11 a.m. each and every Saturday morning on the game, 103.7 Lafayette. And also for those out there in the Chuck who are listening, 104.1 out in Lake Charles, Louisiana. It's always an honor and a privilege to talk some college hoops with you, brother. You take it easy, my man.
Clint does an amazing job taking a look at the Sun Belt, taking a look at the SEC as well. For those of you that are looking for a way to get started for your SEC football Saturday, Clint does a great job over there at Under the Dome, being able to deliver a great pregame show on that front as well. And every time Clint joins me, always delivers the goods, much like he did today. A big thanks to Clint Domingue for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, the Sun Belt Preview Edition, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, I give you my projector of finish for the Sun Belt.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Was an absolute pleasure to get Clint Omega aboard. He does amazing work over at 103.7 The Game in Lafayette, Louisiana. He hosts a show Under the Dome, does amazing work taking a look at just sports in the southeast part of the country in general. Does a nice job with the Sun Belt, does a great job with the SEC. He has joined me on this podcast a few times, and every time he joins me, it is always a pleasure. So a big thanks to Clint for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Once again, since I'm doing a conference preview today, the news and notes of college basketball from Friday, I'm going to be brushing those up on tomorrow's podcast, so have no fear if you wind up missing out on a little bit there, because that is all going to be taken care of. We've seen a little bit of bad news when it comes to our good friends at Oregon State, which, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, it's not going to be a great year for them. But let's take a look at my projector or finish for the Sun Belt, and coming in at dead last, a team that was relatively solid the last few seasons, that would be Arkansas State. With Arkansas State, they lose no Chad Omier, who was a double-double machine for this team, and that sets them way behind the eight ball. Along with that, Desi Sills, who was a double-figure scorer for Arkansas State, he is now on the fold. It's really become Caleb Fields' team. With Caleb Fields, he was able to put up 7.5 points. He doled out 4.4 assists per game, so they do have a little bit of a floor general out there, but not like Arkansas State was lighting the world on fire from three-point range to start with. They were right around 300th in the country last season. They were able to do a good job on the glass because Omier was able to pull down 12.2 rebounds per game, but he was the only guy on the roster last year that averaged more than 3.6 rebounds per game. Now that he's out of the fold, you have to look to, well, pretty much anyone to be able to step up, and they didn't do a good job of being able to bring in a lot of guys by the transfer portal. I do have a little bit of, shall we say, lukewarmness on Dylan Arnett. Dylan Arnett is going to be coming in after he was at Western New Mexico last season and a few seasons ago. He was up at the D1 level. I do think that he's going to be able to do a competent job down low. And then they've got, this is going to be a nightmare to pronounce, Aladin Bolatab. He comes in from Florida State, 7'2". He's very, very tall, but he is about as unpolished as it gets. Omar El Shaki, he was able to tear it up at Assumption, but he has to go from the non-D1 level up to the D1 level. Arkansas State really does not have any trusted scoring that you're able to rely upon other than Caleb Fields. This is a backcourt that is not going to be able to lend them a lot of support. They lose so many of their impact pieces from last season. You need Malcolm Farrington, who has always been able to be a relatively solid backcourt piece, to really step up this season. I don't think he's going to be able to do so. I think that this is going to be a big fallout for Arkansas State. I think them losing no Chad Omier just puts them way behind everyone else in the conference. So number 14 in my projector or finish, I am going to be going with Arkansas State. And number 13, I am going with Georgia Southern. With Georgia Southern, still a bunch that lacks so much size, and that is really going to be their undoing. Now, they bring back quite a few pieces from last season, and I mentioned that Jalen Finch comes into the fold, someone who shot north of 37% from three-point range while he was at Jacksonville State last season, put up 9 points per contest, so he's going to be able to help out this backcourt. They do bring back Caden Archie and Cam Bryant as well, but I just don't know what they're going to be able to do in the post. Georgia Southern, ever since you wound up seeing the coaching regime change from a few seasons ago, have not been able to do a whole heck of a lot down low. And oh, by the way, the former coach for the team, Mark Byington, he's now actually over at James Madison, who enters into the conference as well. So that should be resulting in some nice brouhahas. But when it comes to Georgia Southern, last year in terms of total rebound rate, they ranked among D1 teams 256th. I don't think that this is going to be getting a whole heck of a lot better. I do think that they're going to do a little bit of a better job of being able to generate turnovers than they did last season, as Georgia Southern overall, they were about 80th in terms of steals per game, but in terms of turnovers per contest, they actually turned it over more than they wound up forcing turnovers, and they do lose Jetty Zeropatis, who was a very good three-point shooter for them, one of the best in all of college basketball a few seasons ago, and automatic at the free throw line. He shot 96% at the free throw line for a team that was 295th overall, making just 68% of their free throws. So shooting as a whole going to be a big issue for a Georgia Southern bunch that were 327th in this category. I do think that Finch is going to be able to help them out, but not having a lot of rebounding with having out of the full Prince, Gilliam, Tayambi, and then Andre Savrovs is really the only guy that returns that average more than 4.6 rebounds per game and does a nice job with right around 10.5 points per contest. But in a conference that it felt like everyone wound up getting better via the transfer portal, they did not wind up doing as much. That is why I've got them number 13 in terms of my projector or finish. At number 12, I go with Old Dominion. And for Old Dominion, they weren't great at Conference USA last season. Now they have to take the step up with losing each of their top two scorers in KJ Kaiser along with Austin Trice. These two guys combined for a little bit over 27 points per contest. Trice was able to reel in about 9 rebounds per game as well. Kalu Ezekpe, he is out of the fold as well after he wound up being able to pull in their 7 rebounds per contest. So this is not a great Old Dominion team, in my opinion. For Old Dominion, I do think that it's really going to be up to some of these freshmen that are a little bit more unheralded to come in and be able to hold it down, and I don't think that they're going to be able to do so. Now, I do like Makai Long along Jason Wade. These are two guys that you're able to build around with Long. He was able to put up 8.5 points, nearly 7 boards per contest, but Jalen Hunter, who averaged 4 assists per game, he was able to put in there nearly 10 points per contest. He's out of the fold as well, so you have to replace your main point guard from a team that was 347th in the country in terms of 3-point shooting percentage. You don't return a single guy that averaged more than really 1.3 assists per game. They weren't good on the glass aside from Ezekpe and Austin Trice as well. You've got all sorts of holes for this Old Dominion team, and they really didn't address it by the transfer portal either. Tyreek Scott Grayson, I like him as a player, as Scott Grayson was able to do some very nice things while I was at UAB a few seasons ago, and I cannot forget Ben Stanley. When he was at Hampton a few seasons ago, he was absolutely dominant. 2019-20 season, 22 points, 7.5 boards, shot 33% from 3 as a 6'6", a little bit of a combo player. That said, that was out there in the Big South, and the last two seasons at Xavier has played a combined 13 games. I just don't know what you're going to be able to get out of him, even if he is back at full health. Keep in mind, the big numbers they had, that was at Hampton, a team that was playing very up-tempo, didn't necessarily lead to overly many wins for Hampton as well, so that means that you need to bank on Charles Smith being able to step up. Someone who began his career at SMU last season had 5.5 points per contest, shot below 30% from three-point range. This is not a bunch that's going to be able to knock down a lot of threes. You don't have that main facilitator. Certainly having Ben Stanley helps out the full, but still, Old Dominion not playing the same defense that they used to under Jeff Jones. That is going to be an issue. As a result, I do have them number 12 in my projector or finish. And number 11, I'm going to be going with App State. Appalachian State may wind up losing a lot of their top scorers from last season, including Adrian Delph. Delph was doing it all. 17.5 points, 5.5 boards per contest. You also have to replace Justin Forrest, who Justin Forrest was very inefficient last year. Two seasons ago when they made the NCAA tournament, he got off to a really rough start, and then he was able to finish strong. Last season, he got off to a rough start, and it just never came around for him. So that's not necessarily the biggest loss in the world. And Demel Pearson, I like him coming in out of Western Illinois. Pearson does a nice job down low, has been able to average between 6 and 7 rebounds per game last two seasons, and has a little bit of familiarity down south as he actually began his career at UAB. But for Appalachian State, would have liked to see them be able to bring in some more splash pieces via the transfer portal, a team that we were talking about with our good friend Clint. They're going to be hanging their hat on defense. This is not a bunch that is looking to score 80-plus points per game, anything like that. They bring in someone like a Tariq Boykin, who comes in from Union College. He's 6'1". He's able to dole the ball out. That should be able to help them out. And then I do think that under the radar, Carvell Tisset, He was playing at Northwestern State last season. He's going to be a nice piece. 13 points per contest in the Southland, shot 37% from three-point range. But Appalachian State, if they want to be competitive, they're going to need to knock down their threes, because with App State, they play at a very slow style, which means that the amount of possessions in a game is going to be reduced. They were just 205th in the country in terms of three-point shooting percentage last season. Now, credit where credit is due for them. They were able to do a nice job of holding opponents to shooting only about 31% from three-point range as well, but they weren't necessarily strong down low. They didn't turn the ball over, but now you have to replace a lot of the guys that did a lot of the facilitating for them last season, like Michael Olamensi. He was very critical for the team, being able to dole out right around 3.1 assists per contest. He is now out of the fold. I do like that they bring back Donovan Gregory. Gregory is going to have the entire offense flowing through him. 11 points, 5.5 boards, 2.8 assists, is able to generate steals, but he also made as many threes as myself last season, and when you don't necessarily have a ton of size with this team, they're going to be looking to CJ Hundley, who's 6'10", averaged 6.5 points, 3.5 rebounds per game, in order to be able to fight on a glass in a conference that, in general, was really able to shape up down low. That's going to be tough, and then you also have Jabari Walker, who's coming in from UMass as well, just did not wind up seeing a lot of minutes when he was over with the Minutemen as well, so I do think that it's going to be a long year for an Appalachian State team. I think that they're going to be competitive, but I think that they're going to be like your buddy at the bar and not able to close out a lot of these games. So I do have Appalachian State, as a result, in my projector of finish at number 11. At number 10, I'm going to be going with Georgia State. Now, with Georgia State, it's just because they've got so many new pieces. They wind up losing pretty much six of their top seven scorers from last season. I do like that DeJuan Odom is going to be following their coach in Jonas Hayes, who led Xavier to the NIT title coming in. And with Odom, you were able to see him be able to have some flashes throughout the season. He averaged right around 6.5 points per contest. Would like to see him do more than the 2 rebounds per game that he wound up logging, but we're going to take a look at things from February 5th on. So this would be the final 15 games of the season. He saw more minutes. He averaged right around 7.2 points, 2.5 assists per contest. Not a guy that's going to go out there and step out and hit a lot of threes. He's a little bit more of a peer facilitator, and I do think that he's going to be able to show that off at Georgia State. When it comes to Georgia State, I do expect the fun, exciting basketball that we saw a few seasons ago to be coming back. Big reason why Georgia State was a little bit disjointed last season is that they were dealing with a whole bunch of general injuries. I think that Jermaine Mann is going to be able to be a man for this team, as last season, while he was over at Vanderbilt, was able to do a nice job being able to chip in 4.5 points and 3.5 rebounds per game in the SEC. Prior to that, I have Zach Gardner-Webb, more like 7 points, 5.5 rebounds per contest. He's able to step out and shoot threes at 6'6". Not going to do anything tremendous with that regard, but also under the radar, Brendan Tucker. Tucker, I think, is going to be a big piece for this team, as last season he was playing for one of the more up-tempo teams in all of college basketball in College of Charleston, and he was able to put up nice numbers with a little bit over 11 points per contest, shot 38.5% from three-point range. That is something very positive for this program to be able to build around, but when you have a core that, in general, had been with each other for so long, you wind up having this pretty much just wiped out. You have to replace the coaching staff. That is not easy. Evan Johnson, who was able to put up about 6 to 7 points per contest, he is back from last season. And Jalen Booknight, he comes in as a freshman. I think he's going to be able to do some nice things. I do think that that is of relation to James Booknight, who we all remember wound up having a very nice run of things when I was at UConn. But a lot of raw pieces. I think it's going to take a year or two for Jonas Hayes to be able to get things online with Georgia Southern. As a result, I've got them number 10 in my projector of finish. At number 9, I'm going to be going Troy. Troy is, as I mentioned a little bit before, a team that I love to use this phrase, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. They had one guy in Efi Obadiji who wound up averaging more than 9 points per game last season, and he is now out of the fold. That is going to be tough, but guys like a Khalil Punter were able to do a nice job on defense. They do solid work in terms of being able to get some turnovers. They fight for rebounds as a whole, so that's something that you're able to feel very good about. And they do wind up bringing in a few transfers. Darius McNeil, towards the early part of his career in 2 seasons at Cal, he was a double-figure scorer. Could not find it with UTSA. He's had a couple stops along the way, and it has not necessarily been solved for him, but I do think that Scott Cross is going to be able to get the most out of him. On top of that, they've got someone from within the conference that is going to be joining them, Nelson Phillips. He was at Georgia State last season, averaged 7.5 points per contest. He should be able to help out a little bit in terms of just being physical, getting 3.5 rebounds, 1.6 steals per contest. This is the sort of guy that Scott Cross really does like, and they bring in a D2 guy in Amir Mohammed. He was at Lubbock Christian. He was able to do a nice job of scoring and was able to give a little bit of facilitation there. But when it comes to Troy, they need to establish that one guy that is going to be able to have the ball in his hands if they're in a tight spot down by like 3-4 points with a minute left to go. Now, Duke Miles was tremendous at being able to get steals. 8.5 points, only about 3 rebounds, but 2.3 steals per contest. Duke Dean is back after he averaged 9 points, 3 assists, and a steal per contest. So these two guys are very good on the defensive side of things. And Troy in general did a nice job of being able to turn teams over, but they also turned the ball over 15 times per contest. That is an issue. They did a nice job down low as well, but their top rebounder, Obadiji, he is now out of the fold as well. That leaves Zay Williams as really the only guy that averaged more than 3 rebounds per game for this team last season. So it was just a whole bunch of guys really trying to chip in where they could. They went about 11 to 12 deep. They did wind up losing guys like Riffin Miguel along TK Smith. Now, they do replace them with guys like Phillips, who I mentioned a little bit before, and perhaps Darius McNeil can take that stride forward, and he can be that main guy for Troy. But the reason why I have them in the bottom half of the conference is that they don't have that one go-to scorer. I like the way that Troy plays defense. Scott Cross did amazing work getting this team to 20 wins. I don't know if they're going to be able to go much further. So, as a result, in my projector finish, I've got Troy at number 9. I've got Louisiana Monroe at number 8. With Louisiana Monroe, I do think that there's some upside with this bunch because they did an amazing job bringing in guys via the transfer portal, and they also kept along quite a few of the guys that were successful for them last season. Elijah Gonzalez, not going to go out there and be a flamethrower scorer or anything like that, but he's Mr. Do-It-All. 7 points. 4.2 assists, 1.9 steals. When he shot threes, he made them. He shot 37% from three-point range. And Nika Mirkachevili, that is one of the toughest last names that you're ever going to be tasked with. He shot 36% from three-point range. We're just going to call him Nika, 6'7" combo player. I like the way that he was able to perform. Now, they lose Andre 3000 Jones, and he was the main guy in terms of being able to get the offense cooking. He supplied 15.5 points per contest and was a very well-rounded guy in general, being able to facilitate, not necessarily much of a three-point shooter, but now you bring in Jamari Blackman, who was able to do amazing work over at North Alabama, someone who was able to put up 10-plus points per game in his career there. And then Tariq Lacour, last year, he spent it at UAB, and he didn't necessarily have the world's greatest results there, but you go back to what happened when he was in the Sun Belt, ironically enough, with South Alabama a few seasons ago. 13.5 points, 5 boards, 3.1 assists per contest, while shooting about 33-34% from three-point range. We're able to team that up with someone in Blackman who does have a little bit of experience being able to dole out the ball, 10 points, about 2.5 assists per contest last season, and he wound up shooting 35% from three-point range, and that forms a very formidable backcourt. Now, down low, the seam is a little bit rough as you're going to rely upon Thomas Howell, who averaged between 5 and 6 rebounds per game, to really be carrying the mail a little bit and being able to help out as Louisiana Monroe, one of the lesser teams in all of college basketball in terms of rebound rate. But Adu Didiu, he comes in from UAB, guy that averaged right around 2 or 3 rebounds per game, didn't necessarily jump off the page, but he enters the program. He should be able to help out down low with his 6'11" frame along with Victor Bafuto. Bafuto was over at Mercer, wound up playing 4 seasons for them, and never really saw a bunch of minutes, but someone that when he saw minutes was able to be a good rim protector, not necessarily much of a scorer, but someone that's going to be a designated rebounder for you. So I take a look at Louisiana Monroe, love the pieces that they brought in. Someone like Devin Hancock, who comes in from UW Milwaukee, I think he's a little bit of a wild card, and I don't know if Jacob Wilson, with his off-the-court issues, is going to see the floor or not, but if you're able to get minutes out of Jacob Wilson for Wichita, say, because I pretty much have thought that he's probably going to be sitting out this season. That just makes Louisiana Monroe all the more dangerous. So I take a look at Louisiana Monroe, and I think that they've got the pieces to be able to take some strides forward. So as a result, for Louisiana Monroe, I put them number 8 in my projector finish. And number 7, I'm going with Southern Miss. With Southern Miss, they were a hot mess last season. And really, since Donnie Tindall left the program, it has been terrible for Southern Miss. But you bring in Austin Crawley, someone who didn't see a ton of minutes over at Ole Miss, but he was a former top 250 recruit, and I think that he's going to be able to see a little bit more of a carved out role for him. 5 points per contest, wound up starting 11 games last season, and is able to dole out the ball, 2.5 assists per game, but you've also got another guy who is able to do a good job of being able to dish that out in Neftali Alvarez. Alvarez limited to 12 games last season due to injury, but had a nice campaign, 12.5 points, 3.5 assists per contest, and when he was fully healthy 2 seasons ago, he did dole out 3.5 turnovers per game while he was at Mercer, but 13.5 points, 4.2 assists. Not a guy that's going to go out and shoot threes, but that's what his former teammate Felipe Haas does. Felipe Haas is 6'9", not great on the glass, but he is good at stretching the floor. Last year, 15 points per game, 5.5 boards, 3 assists, 1.2 steals, shot over 40% from 3-point range. Nico Aguirre from Southwest Baptist, he had big numbers at the lower level. John Franco, Pipo Garfalas, he was able to average north of 18 points per contest, does a good job being able to get some boards, doling out the ball. Victor Hart, he's 6'8". He's got a little bit of versatility as well. It's a completely new look bunch, as they did wind up having to really overhaul a lot of what we wound up seeing a season ago. But I take a look at Southern Miss overhauling what was a very, very bad roster from last season is honestly what is best for Southern Miss. I think that there's a lot of upside for them. They're trying to turn the page under Jay Lander, who's been able to do a solid job since he wound up taking over the program. This is one of the tougher jobs that you wind up having. Mo Arnold is going to be back in the fold as well. They bring back DeAndre Pinkney. He's 6'8". He's able to shoot some threes. Love the pieces that were brought in. Donovan Ivory from UW Green Bay is able to give you 10 points per contest. The question is, are these pieces all going to be able to gel? Which is why I can't put Southern Miss really any higher than 7th, but the talent is here for the team to be able to make a nice run. So I do have Southern Miss number 7 in terms of my projector finish. And number 6, I'm going with James Madison. With James Madison, they bring back darn near everything from last season. Justin Amadi, who registered 5.5 rebounds per game, is someone that I think is going to be able to do a very solid job this season. Then on top of that, this team did a nice job bringing in Mezzi Offram to be able to help things out down low while he was at Mount St. Mary's last season, right around 10 points, 5.5 rebounds per contest. So that is rock solid for the team and exactly what they needed, because they've got a very versatile player in Takal Molson, who returns from last season after he was able to chip in there right around 5 or so rebounds per contest, a James Madison team that they really do rely upon being able to generate steals. And for Molson, he was able to do a good job of checking that box, 1.7 steals per contest to go along with those rebounds, 12.5 points. For James Madison, you want a little bit more consistent 3-point shooting. They were able to shoot about 34.5% as a collective, but it was mainly on the arm of Charles Faldin, who shot a little bit over 41% from 3-point range. And Vado Morris, he took a lot of the threes for the team. He took 7.3 of them per contest. Really, nobody else other than Faldin took more than 3 per game, but they do wind up being able to bring him back as well. 15 points, 2.5 assists, steal per contest, shot right around 34.5% from 3 as a volume scorer. And Tyree Iheanacho just was not a good fit for the team last season, but I do think that he's got a lot of upside as well. Iheanacho came over after he was a very good player out in the Sun Belt. If you recall, while he was at North Dakota 2 seasons ago, he had 8.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.6 steals on 35.5% 3-point shooting 2 seasons ago. If he's able to show any sort of that form, that is going to be massive for James Madison. James Madison has done a good job in recent years being able to scour the transfer portal. They play a little bit of a different style than most of the teams in this conference. I do think that their lack of just true size in general, though Offram does help them out, is going to be a little bit of a kryptonite. But when it comes to this James Madison bunch, being able to have good chemistry and a guy, Noah Friedel, that what he's going to be able to bring to the table is a question mark, but when he was out there on the floor for South Dakota State, he averaged 13.5 points per contest in his 63 career games, a career 39% 3-point shooter. First about, we're going to call it 15 games of the season for South Dakota State, he was their leading scorer. This James Madison team has a lot of guys that are able to put the ball in the basket. Question is, are they going to be able to do a good job down low? Which is why I can't really have them collect a lot higher, but I do see strides forward for this James Madison team. As a result, I've got them number 6 in my projector finish. And number 5, I'm going with Marshall. Marshall was horrible from 3-point range last season, but Marshall got exactly what the doctor ordered, and that's a transfer from VMI by the name of Camden Kerfman. VMI last season was in the top 15 in all of college basketball in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis, and one of the best 3-point shooting teams in all of college basketball as well. With Kerfman, he was a big reason why. Someone that stands 6'1", 15.5 points, 2.5 assists, shot 39% from 3, and in his 3 seasons at the college level, was able to average double figures while shooting at least 38% from 3-point range in all 3 campaigns. I also like what you've got in Obiana Onchili Killian. He was able to have 4 blocks per contest in the non-conference portion of the season. Wore down a little bit as the season went along, but you've also got Tavion Kinsey. He returns after he averaged 19 points per game. Needs to be better from three-point range. He shot 18% from three-point range. As a result, Marshall, they were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball, ranking 334th. Meanwhile, Andrew Taylor, he was able to have a nice season as well, and he is back for this bunch as well. 14 points, 5 boards, 4.5 assists, 1.8 steals per game. Saw his 41.5% three-point shooting from 2 seasons ago go down to about 33% from three-point range last season. So I do think that he's going to be able to come back, and he's going to be able to have a relatively nice run of things. Marshall has also done a solid job of being able to look at some junior college guys as well. This should be able to help the team be fortified a bit more. When it comes to Marshall, rebounding has always been a little bit of an issue, but I think that their defense is going to be a little bit stronger than it was a season ago with Obiana Onchili Killian being able to do a nice job of being able to get some block shots. I felt like there was a big transition period because Gerard West was the heart and soul of the team a few seasons ago, losing him. It took them a year to be able to find their watermark. I think that they're going to be able to be a slightly below average three-point shooting team, but you know what? Slightly below average, a heck of a lot better than what they were last season when they were 334th in terms of three-point shooting percentage. I think that goes northward. As a result, I think Marshall goes upward. I have them number 5 in my projector or finish. And number 4, we're going to be going Texas State. Texas State has finished in the top 2 in this conference each out of the last 4 seasons, but I do expect there to be a fall-off. You lose Caleb Asbury, Isaiah Small, along Shelby Adams. Those are 3 of your top 4 scorers from last season. Now, Nigel Caesar, 8.5 points, 5 boards, a block per contest is nice. And Mason Arrow, he is a little bit of a do-it-all guy. He led the team in assists last season for a bunch that they really needed that chemistry because they were in the bottom 30 in terms of possessions per game. You had him shoot 40% from three-point range at 84% at the free throw line. That's part of it as well. Shelby Adams and Caleb Asbury, who they lose, they both shot above 82% at the free throw line for a bunch that they were relatively solid at the line last season. You're going to need Drew Drinan to step up. He averaged 3.8 points, right around in an assist and a half per contest, only about 32% from three-point range. So you've got a lot of guys that they played smaller roles last season, needing to do quite a bit. Now, the good news is reinforcements are on the way. Always have a tough time saying this name, but they bring in the gentleman from Florida that was a very highly touted guy in Junk Thach. He got a few minutes while Colin Castleton was out of the fold. And when he got these minutes, when Castleton was out of the fold, he showed some nice flashes as there were a few games where he was putting up like 8 to 10 points. He was able to grab a couple rebounds, really was able to help them out. As a matter of fact, he had a 5-block game against Missouri on February 2nd. So there is some clear upside with Texas State. And Texas State, just as a style that I really am a believer in, you saw them go through a tumultuous period when Danny Casper wanted getting canned a couple seasons ago. You saw Terrence Johnson come in and he just led the team to the top of the Sun Belt once again. I don't expect there to be too much of a fall off, but you're going to need Dylan Dawson to be able to step up as well. Dawson last season averaged only about 3 points per contest, shot 43% from three-point range. There's going to be a lot more ass out of him this season, and I don't know if these guys are all going to be necessarily up to the task. Having back a few key pieces from last season is going to be absolutely critical. I think that Mason Arrow might be as important to his respective team as almost anyone. I say almost because there's someone on Louisiana that might be a little bit more so than that. But I think that he's going to be incredibly important for this team. And Elijah Kennedy, who also comes in from Florida, he's going to need to step up as well after he just wound up spending last season on the bench for this bunch. So I do have Texas State number 4 in my projector or finish. And number 3, I'm going with South Alabama. South Alabama, once again, has done a great job in the transfer portal as they bring in Kevin Samuels. So last season at Florida Gulf Coast, right around 13.5 points, 9.5 boards, and 3 blocks per contest. Now, South Alabama, as is tradition with them, they wind up losing quite a few pieces via the transfer portal while they bring in quite a few nice pieces as well. Judah Brown, who is entering from St. Mary's, I'm very intrigued by him because typically you don't wind up seeing South Alabama bring in someone from the West Coast like this, but Judah Brown was more of a glue guy piece for St. Mary's, not someone that saw a lot of minutes, but he at 6'6" is someone that is able to be relatively versatile. He's able to pop a few threes. I think that he's going to do a good job in this Richie Riley system. On top of that, you do return one of your main guys from last season as well in Deontay Smith. Smith was able to registered 7 points, 3.5 boards per contest, and he can be a guy that, in my opinion, takes a few more threes this season after he shot 38.5% from three-point range to go along with ACO per contest. The one thing that always kills South Alabama is their lack of depth. They bring in a lot of guys via the transfer portal, and not a lot of them are able to pan out because a lot of them, they just wind up getting glued to the bench, which that I always think is a little bit of an issue. And for South Alabama, what I thought was interesting about their offseason approach as well, they brought in a lot of guys from the D2 level. You bring in someone like an Isaiah Moore, who tore it up at Franklin Pierce, put up nice numbers, solid three-point shooter, but he's going to need to have the ball in his hands quite a bit for this offense. Owen White, he comes in from Michigan Tech. I'm very intrigued by what he's going to be able to bring to the table, but along with these D2 guys, what they also have, Greg Parham. Parham just did not wind up playing last season. While he was at VMI 2 seasons ago, though, the 2020-21 season, he shot 48.5% from the floor, 43.5% from three-point range with 18.5 points per contest. You know that he is going to be a big-time scorer. So if someone like an Elijah Hormison, who comes in from Concordia St. Paul last season, he averaged 17 points, 6.3 boards at the D2 level, are able to pan out, this is a team that they've got a lot of potential, and you've got a nice safety blanket with Greg Parham because you know that he's going to be able to put the ball in the basket. And Jabbar Franklin, I think that he's one of the more underrated freshmen in all of college basketball, averaging right around 21 points per contest while he was playing at the high school level in the great state of Florida. I think that a lot of high major conference teams are going to be wishing that they had him on their roster. So I've got South Alabama number 3 in my projector or finish. And number 2, I'm going with Louisiana. With Louisiana, they've got the most critical piece to their respective team in all of college basketball, and that's Jordan Brown. He is the only guy in this conference that is a former McDonald's All-American, and he completely tore it up with a bunch last season. He stands 6'11", averaged 15.3 points, 8.5 boards, a block per game on 44.4% three-point shooting. On top of that, you also bring back Colby Julian, and for that matter, out of their top 6 scorers from last season, 5 return. Julian, he averaged 12.5 points, shot 35% from 3 as a 6'6", little bit of a combo player. Now, what they're going to need is a little bit more rebounding outside of Brown, because outside of Brown, the only other guy that averaged more than 3.5 rebounds per game for the team last season was Colby Julian. So Joe Charles, who saw a few straight minutes when the team had a couple bouts of COVID, then he's going to need to step up. Jalen Dalencourt, he averaged 6.5 points per game. He's going to need to channel what he was able to do at San Jose State a few seasons ago, where he was able to average more like 9.5 points on 35.5% three-point shooting. He needs to do a little bit more there. But Kentrell Garnett, he was in the top 20 among qualifying D1 players in three-point shooting percentage last season. He was able to put up 7 points. He shot 47.3% from three-point range. That is going to be massive for Louisiana. Now, Louisiana really did not add a whole heck of a lot via the transfer portal, but they did a good job just staying true to what they had. They bring in Terrence Lewis II from Jackson State, 8.5 points, 6.5 rebounds per game, began his career in North Texas, last year was out in the SWAC. He should be able to add a little bit of something down low, but the reason why I can't put them number one is because Coastal Carolina did an amazing job in the transfer portal, and they do have that beast down low in Isam Mustafa. Mustafa returns after he averaged 13 points, 9.5 boards per contest, and was able to add in there a little bit over a block per game. Now, Ibrahima Diba being out of the fold, that hurts this team because he was the main facilitator, but I would argue that they got in a player even better than Diba in Antonio Day, who they wind up getting from Fordham. Last year, while he was at Fordham, was a little bit hampered due to injury, but he averaged 16.8 points, 3.5 assists, 1.4 steals per contest. While he was in the Atlantic 10 2 seasons ago in Conference USA, 17 points, 4.5 assists, and more like 2.4 steals per game. This guy is absolutely tremendous. And then on top of that, for Coastal Carolina, you compare him up with Jamaru Brown, who comes in from Eastern Kentucky. While he was at Eastern Kentucky during the 2019-20 season, had one of the best seasons for pretty much any guard in all of college basketball. 18.5 points, 4 boards, 2.7 assists, 2 steals per game. Not a great 3-point shooter, but this is a Coastal Carolina bunch that typically they do a good job of being able to find diamonds in the rough. When it comes to these shooters, they bring in Joey Kahn, who he was playing at Delta State last season, wound up redshirting, but I do think that he's going to come in. He's going to be able to put up some big numbers as a little bit of a designated shooter. Jimmy Nichols is 6'8". He enters from VCU, should be able to help this team out defensively as well. And then Linton Brown, I don't understand why he didn't wind up getting more minutes at St. Bonaventure, but he was a very highly touted guy a few seasons ago prior to him deciding that he was going to be going to the Bonnies because he, at the junior college level a few seasons ago, put up absolutely ridiculous numbers, shooting about 48% from three-point range. He was able to contribute a whole bunch of points per contest as well, right around 18 points per game. So I think that he comes into this program, he's able to help out with that shooting. You've got Brown coupled with Antonio Day Jr. in the backcourt. And then when you're able to add in there Isa Mustafa, who winds up returning from last season, it makes this team so incredibly dangerous. And if you're looking for a little bit more of an insurance policy as well, Wilfried Lakai. He averaged 6.5 points, 5.8 rebounds per contest, has a little bit of versatility in his game at 6'9" as well. You wind up returning some of the key pieces that were so versatile for the team last season. You add in there a very good backcourt. I think that Coastal Carolina takes this conference. I've got them number one in terms of my projector or finish, and that will wrap things up for my Sun Belt preview edition on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. A big thanks to Clint Domek. Does great work over at 103.7 The Game in Louisiana. He joined me in the last segment. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you've got one or two ways to be able to further this in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GNet_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, maybe does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast by that 5-star review. I will be coming at you guys every single day throughout the year. Non-conference portion of things, gonna be giving you guys these conference previews like I did today, and the news and notes of college basketball once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.